Blog Talk Radio.
Paying homage to the sport coach, giving it up to the exotic watch. No need to be tucking them tailor shirts, custom prints in our guy's socks. This one's for the button-ups, showing love to the cufflinks. Spit shining on the square toes, and the fresh crease blue jeans. We growing around here. Keeping it grown around here.
Grown, grown around here.
Just grown around here.
Grown, grown around here.
We grown around here.
Grown, grown around here.
We grown around here.
Grown, grown around here.
Keeping it grown around here.
Grown, grown around here.
Just grown around here.
Grown, grown around here.
Skinny jeans, no, we don't do those.
We don't do those.
Cuff bottoms of Ferragamo.
Ferragamo.
Tailor shirts and fitted suit coats. Watch game grown. Audemars and Hublots. All those new dancers, what they call that.
They call
smooth
that.
It out, two steps, slide, fall back. This is a lifestyle and a mindset. If you don't get it, then this ain't where your mind's at. Pulling up in the dopest two-door you've ever seen. Open the door for your lady, now that's a gentleman. Waiting in them lines, I got no time for that. VIP status for the Benjamins, can remind them that. Remind them that. Dance flow, back coupled up, that's how they do that. Mixed drinks, a couple crowns, old friends, don't need no new cat. Came out to have fun around here. Grown folks keeping it grown around here. Paying homage to the sport coach, giving it up to the exotic watch. No need to be tucking them tailor shirts, custom prints in our guy's socks. This one's for the button-ups, showing love to the cufflinks. Spit shining on them square toes, and the fresh crease blue jeans.
You're listening to E-Water Radio, K-E-W-R-D-B.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of E-Water Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of E-Water Radio, KEWR-DB, or its affiliates.
Paying homage to the sport coach, giving it up to the exotic watch. No need to be tucking them tailor shirts. Custom prints on our guy's socks.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Real Connected, where we talk about real estate and financial literacy. Again, thank you to G. Todd for our intro and for our music. Again, No Limit Records. I appreciate the love given. Always. My shameless request is if you have any music that you want to share, please send it my way. But as always, I do appreciate G. Todd and No Limit Records for the clips that they provided for the show. I am definitely excited about this particular episode. I definitely take it personal because, of course, we all have a financial journey. And as I have learned in the short amount of time that I have been in real estate, that credit and finances hinder a lot of us in our community in the home buying process. And so I'm definitely excited to talk about finances on this show because it's about financial literacy. I think that, you know, we all, I have my story to tell, but, you know, we all have our journeys. And so how important it is to know what we need to do to get to where we want to be. So I'm excited about this show. But really more so, I am, it's been a crazy last couple of weeks. Real estate is great. We are definitely in a competitive market, so you have to be ready. You definitely have to be ready when it comes to your money, your credit, and, you know, really just ready to hit that go button. So it is great here in Cincinnati. We have amazing weather. I spoke to Ed out of L.A., and, you know, he was talking to us a couple of weeks ago about what they got going on over in that area. So whatever part of the country that you're listening in, I hope that you have amazing weather and that you have amazing food and all of that. So, yeah, everything is going good. On this show, I have the pleasure and the honor of having Lawrence Kane. Lawrence, are you on the call? Well, I don't know if He can hear me. Lawrence, are you on the call?
Can you hear me?
I can. Welcome.
Hey, we're here. How you doing?
Yes, yes. I am good. Lawrence Kane is Cincinnati's own. He is definitely doing some amazing things in our city. He has Abundance University, which not only teaches adults, but also has money seeds for our kids, for our youth, and is an author. Is that you authored that book, right, Lawrence?
I actually self-published 3 books. So we have
awesome.
Money Seeds, 30 Financial Principles. We have Money Seeds, 15 Business Principles, and then we have Money Seeds, 30 Financial Principles for the Next Generation, which that's the book that we teach from when we're dealing with our babies.
Yeah, yeah. I am so excited to have you here, Lawrence. As I mentioned, and I'm not sure if you heard, but, you know, I would like to say I'm newer in the real estate game. Some folks think I've been doing it for a while, but I really haven't. This is year number 2 for me, going into year number 3. And since I've been in real estate, I have definitely run into people who really want to buy a house. They're just not ready. They're not ready when it comes from a financial perspective. Might not have the money saved up, might not have the credit that they need. And so it's really trying to now backtrack and teach my community what that looks like. Even if you're not even in the process of buying a home, what it is to be financially sound, not only for yourself, but also in creating that generational wealth for your future and for your kids and for your family. So I'm excited to have you here, Lawrence. Definitely appreciative of you taking the time out of your day to speak to my listeners about what it is to be educated in the financial, from the financial perspective. But give us a little info about you. I was trying to Google you and I was doing all that, but give us some info on who Lawrence Kane is and what made you even start doing this.
Absolutely. So, again, first and foremost, thank you for having me, and just appreciate what you do in your space. But I mean, as far as me, again, my world revolves around financial education. So whether we're speaking, you know, doing conferences and workshops for adults, or, you know, again, just recently, like literally today, I'm leaving UC's Upper Bound program. We're working with their high school kids, you know, grades 9 through 12. And we just started some programming with Cincinnati Public Schools Summer Scholars Program, where that is grades 2nd through 5th. So, I mean, we serve everybody.
just like
a restaurant, right? You know, you got the kids menu, you got the adult menu. So that's what we have for financial education. And I think, you know, I got into it from college. I took a personal finance class while I was in school, getting my associate's degree in business management, and it just grew into my desire to be better with my own finances. So, you know,
right.
I worked in banking, I worked in financial aid, I've worked in private lending. And in 2000, literally tomorrow, June 6th, tomorrow, that marks 8 years of me being in business when it comes to Abundance University.
Wow.
So just excited, you know, to celebrate it. But I'm more proud of the work that we've done. So, you know, we do workshops with schools, we do conferences, we've done workshops in laundromats. So we just go where the people are. And we meet them where they are. There's no judgment, but we'd like to create that safe space to where, no matter what you want to learn, we try to be that pillar in a community that teaches it. So, super excited.
And you got it.
Just still feeling like, you know, like you said you're young and real estate. Even after 8 years, I still feel young in financial education. So because it's a lifestyle, right? It's not something where once you budget good for 1 month, you're good. Like, no, it is literally
continuous.
A lifelong journey. Yeah, it's continuous.
Let's talk about let's talk about, so I was, of course, doing some, you know, research, and I was looking on Forbes' site, and according to Forbes, 73% of Americans have credit cards by the age of 25. And I look back at my own, you know, I try to be transparent about my own journey and what I have going on. And when I, my freshman year in college at Liberty, I remember that they had credit card companies, Discover, and all of these credit card companies had their table set up, and you didn't even have to have a job to get a credit card. It was, you know, you just put full-time student, and they would give you a card. And how I wasn't prepared at that time to manage, because my parents, and, you know, Lawrence, I know that you and I know each other just a little bit, but my parents, I'm first generation here in this country. And so my parents worked hard, you know, we were homeowners, they were homeowners, and my parents worked really hard. So to teach me about credit and to teach me about money wasn't priority for them. And so you give me a credit card, and I just thought that was my paycheck, you know, just being irresponsible. And, you know, I don't know if they still do that in schools, or what is your thought process? Do people still do that? And what is the age that you see the majority of the issues, or is this just a blanket issue for everyone as far as not being educated on the credit part of it?
Sure. So and I overspending. Think, number one, they're not doing that. That's more like predatory lending, right? Like, you're going to a college campus, and we know that Ohio specifically, we just became a state that required financial literacy to graduate high school. Like, that goes this school year, upcoming school year. So we know that our kids over the last 20 years in Ohio specifically haven't got the financial education that we know is needed before graduation. So you take that into account. You also take into account that in the household we don't teach it. Like you just said, it's not a priority. And, you know, you get a credit card, and we just don't educate our kids enough on how to use the credit card. So if we just start there on how do we properly use it, credit cards aren't a bad thing. We know you get rewards points. We know that, you know, when you travel, it's good to pay on the credit card. So, you know, you don't have the money tied up. And we know that, you know, most people, when you're booking hotels, booking, you know, the flight, the credit card is a good, you know, it's safe to use. But it's not cool to use it when you're just trying to go on a shopping spree because you want some new clothes.
Right.
So that's what we are teaching. So I literally just got out of a class where I told them over the next 6 weeks, we're going to learn what you want to learn. And both classes said credit as their top 10 things that they wanted to learn, because they know it's important. Our kids know it's important, but they want to learn the right way. How do I manage my credit in a way to where I don't have a lot of debt associated with it? And even if I do have debt, it's the debt that is from assets, right? It's the real estate. It's the, you know, it's the you know, the things that put money into my household and not just take. So that's where it comes from. And I think from a young person's perspective, they just want to be properly educated. They know they're going to have to use a credit card. And I think the age range is like, we're teaching them, hey, at 18, come see me so we can show you what you need to do and how you need to do it. I think our generation, we got taught either use it to, you know, keep a 30%, you know, balance, or we got taught, don't get credit. They were like, bad for you. Now we're going into a new generation where they're understanding, obviously, with social media, they can learn way more on their own than they can, than we could have at that time, at that age. So it's just, it's a mixture of all of those things. And, you know, it's a case by case. You know that we're dealing with real estate. You know, there can be two people that want a 3-bedroom house, but their finances are going to look totally different. Their household is going to look totally different. So you just got to, you know, take it for what it is and again, give them as much information as possible that they can then feel empowered to make the right decision. Because if you just tell somebody to do something and you don't tell them why, they're probably not going to listen.
Right.
So
I need to find
give
out
them
for
the
myself.
What and the why.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. You know what? And that is one of the things that I remember with my sons. My sons are, you know, now grown. And I remember us as parents asking the school and, you know, just hoping that some of those basic things, and we're talking about credit, but some basic things some students don't know, you know, and I don't even, is this relevant? I don't have a checkbook. But, you know, how to balance the checkbook or how to budget your money and all of these things that are so basic. But, again, you know, if you don't know, how do you do that? And how do you prepare for what's next? I always say credit is power. I don't know if you agree with me, but I think that having good credit is power because that allows you to get those business loans to purchase property to like you had mentioned, if you use it the right way, you have so much more opportunity than not. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I agree. And I agree that like we are the power. And it's like how do we use our power? Do we credit? Do we use it through cash and capital? Do we use it through relationships, right? Because there's a lot of people that, you know, have good relationships with people, and that's what they leverage to get ahead. You know, whether it's a promotion, whether it's a business contract, like even for somebody like you in real estate, your relationships can sometimes be more valuable than the money you actually have or the assets that you have, because the more people that you know need to get houses, right, then that's what we do. So we that's why it's important for us to be, you know, I think finances for a long time was always about making money and spending money. But now we have to attack it from just every aspect. Credit is something that is a part of our lives, whether we want to have it a part of our lives or not. So how do we to make the right moves? How do we use our savings accounts? How do we use our investment accounts to, you know, get the things that we truly desire out of this life? So it's all of the above, and I think for all of us, you know, if we have good credit, that doesn't mean I have more power than you. That just means I can use my power a little bit more frequently or to do more things than somebody who, you know, may have a 500 credit score, right? I think that's the mindset that we approach it with.
Right. One of the things that I have run into is, unfortunately, folks who want to purchase property and they just have a high debt-to-income ratio. And it's really trying to help them in paying those bills, but also in teaching them to live within your means, to not have to, you know, I know this is such an old saying, but keeping up with the Joneses, to live within your means and to make sure that your bills are paid and that you're paying yourself first, but really kind of getting out of that mindset of just completely throwing your money away. What are your thoughts about how can someone who is wanting to purchase a home or maybe to start a business, what is the very first thing that I need to think of when it comes to my finances, whether it's to learn how to budget, whether it's, again, staying within those means? I always see your posts. I always see your posts about eating in, and I am notorious for door dashing, but it's just me. But I always try to justify, like, well, you know, it's just me. It's only $15, but those $15 every single time adds up.
Add up.
But it's how, you know what I mean? How I always see your posts, but how what is your thought about that, and how do you go about teaching some of these individuals, what does it look like? Because it takes some sort of sacrifice. If I have these big dreams, where does that start? Where should I start?
Absolutely. And I think it's just sowing seeds, right? So, again, our basis is money seeds. And it's like, you know, the seed is always smaller than the harvest. So the harvest is what you want out of life. Is it the house? Is it the, you know, six-figure-a-month business? Like, all of those things are the harvest. And it's like, okay, if that's the harvest, what are the seeds that I have to sow? Because when we say sacrifice, sacrifice means to give up something. But I can give up something and still not hit my mark. So
yeah.
I want to make sure we sow seeds. So the first thing we have to do is understand what seeds do I have to sow in order to get the harvest that I desire. Like, if I want to purchase a house in the next 2 years, that means I may have to save money. That means I need to pay off debt because, like you just said, my debt-to-income ratio is too high to get the type of house that I want. So that is the focus for maybe the next 18 months is I want to pay off debt. Well, how do I pay off debt faster than what I've been doing before I sat down with Eileen? That means I need to either make more money or I need to put the money that I currently make, I need to reallocate it to some form of debt that I have right now. So that means that I'm not door dashing 5 days a week. I'm door dashing 2 days a week, Mondays and Fridays.
Gotcha.
And I'm taking $45 a week, multiply that by four, which is going to be about $180. Now I can make $180 extra payments on that debt. And I know over the course of 18 months, that is now more than, that is a four-figure dent into my debt.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That is a, you know, an example on how you can kind of make the numbers. Like, we manipulate numbers to justify our purchases all the time. Now we just need to manipulate the numbers to justify our future.
Mm. I like that. I like that. I know that for me, you know, I definitely have, so I have gone through a transition, Lawrence. And so, you know, I was married for such a long time, close to 25 years, and was used to a certain lifestyle. And I hope that my life, and if I can, if someone learns anything off of me, I, you know, certainly think that's my purpose, is to help mm-hmm. others. And so, for me, I was married for almost 25 years and lived a good life, and my ex-husband took really good care of us. And so here I am divorced now almost 4 years later, and I'm still trying to, like, create my own, I don't want to say my own, I'm trying to create my own future financially. One of the things, of course, that I did when I first got divorced was I tried to maintain the lifestyle that I had and quickly learned that that was going to be to my detriment because I didn't have the finances that I had when I was married, but I continued to charge like I did. And so now, again, you know, and it doesn't help that, you know, the door dashing thing, I learned so much, but you know what I mean? As far as learning experiences is, you know, just coming from somewhere and then trying to keep up a lifestyle, not realizing at that moment while I was doing it, that I was making it harder for myself for when I wanted something or needed something. And so now, again, just trying to create that future for myself and trying to lay a new foundation when it comes to finances. And I like what you had said about it's not a sacrifice. It is just, oh, my God, I already forgot what you said. It was, you said it wasn't, oh, yes, yes. But you know, I think that one of the things is again knowing that you want something but preparing for it. And if I would have had someone from the very beginning saying, "Oh, Eileen, you don't want to do this," you know, and really having it written down what my goals were financially, that I probably would have made better decisions. You know what I mean? So being able to write down what my goals are, or really knowing what those goals are. And then being able to work towards it would have been a game changer for me. I wouldn't be backtracking right now.
Mm-hmm. Not honest. And you're really not backtracking. I mean, and I think that's where, you know, sometimes we get caught up on looking at what we could have done different instead of what we are planning to do different, right?
Right.
Like, and that's what I want, you know, the listeners to understand. Use the past as a tool. Don't use it as a way to feel bad or mad that you are not where you are, where you think you should be. That, I think that's the main thing for me. Like, keep sowing seeds because that's what you deserve.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. I definitely, like I said, it is, you know, I think if what you're doing now, I think it's amazing to be able to give those lessons to our younger generation. I have definitely a younger group of clients. My clients seem to be within the age of, I would say, late 20s to early 40s. And the majority of them are buying multifamilies. It's like they get it. You know, to be able to purchase the property and to live on one side and rent the other, or to get a multifamily and not even have to pay for rent, let others pay for your rent or your mortgage, and you start to have that cash flow. So I think it's amazing what you're doing and just teaching our younger generation what it is to be, you know, financially sound, and how do I create those wealth opportunities now versus later on.
Mhm. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, taking the information and applying it. Like, if I can go back to 18, 19 years old,
I would be scared of me.
Like, it would be different, you know, like, so, you know, and again, I teach these kids, I said, look, you are going to be older. So you might as well start the right way so you don't feel like you have to rebuild credit or, you know, rebuild your savings or, like, anything where it's, like, rebuilding. It's like, no, just build it right the first time. Like,
right.
That's the message. Let's start you off right. You know, that way when life happens, you know exactly how to deal with these things. So, you know, there's people in the world that start an investment account for their kids, and they aren't even having kids yet. They just know they want to have kids. So, you know, it's the planning, and it's the, you know, it's the preparation of these things. And we want certain things. It's like, are you preparing for it though? You know, I just you know, when this past weekend we had the Invest in Black Women Business Summit. And I was preparing for it for so many months to where I knew it was going to be a great event because we prepared for it. And so many people were trying to show up to events and not be prepared for it. You know, we actually did a thing this time where we created business cards that said we met Women's Summit because we knew people were going to leave their business cards. They literally were like, I don't have a business card. Good. We already had these prepared. So now you can write your information and give this to somebody who you wanted to connect with. So it's that type of thinking to where we're preparing for the things that we know other people aren't preparing for. And that's what we got to do with our finances.
Gotcha. That's good. Especially, and like you talk about being prepared. And so because, of course, real estate is the key topic, but as far as being prepared, it is just like, you know, like you had said that, you know, folks that are out here getting, you know, savings plans for, they know that they want to eventually have children, but, you know, why not start now? The same process goes with home ownership. And whether you are in college, and or whether you're just newly married and know that it's not going to happen right now, but to start preparing or sowing those seeds and just making sure that when the time comes that you are ready. Say, for instance, a home is probably the most expensive thing or the most that you will spend, the majority of course, Americans, that is the biggest ticket item that someone will purchase. And whether you're just going to put, you know, 3%, 5%, or even if you can do 20%, what is your advice on someone who is thinking about purchasing a home on how do they start saving for that down payment? And is there other alternatives other than cash for that savings and for that down payment?
Absolutely. So I believe that when it comes to the savings plan, just think about, okay, if I'm trying to get a $500,000 house, if I have to put 20% down, then that can be my goal. And then I break that down into how many months will that take me if I save, you know, $500 a month or $200 a month. Because you can't save $10,000 if you're not saving $100, right? You have to start somewhere. And be mindful of how you want to work yourself up. I think if everybody could save $500 a month, they would. But that's hard to do in an economy like we are now where eggs are costing so much. So, like, mindful of the lifestyle that we currently have, but then plan for that the next level of our lifestyle. And I think just, you know, putting in, maybe you have a high-yield savings account because a lot of those are, you know, paying interest that's way better than a traditional bank, and really making that savings account specifically for the house. Like, don't just start putting it in a savings account that you already have. Create a specific savings account for that house, and that way you know, and it's going to make you feel good that you're contributing to something that you want. Like, even if it's $20 a week, $20 a month, it's something going towards the house. It's not just going in a general savings account. So that's going to make you feel good. And then find a way to make money so that you can save more. I always say if you want to save $5,000 or $500 a month, then you need to find a way to make $1,000 a month extra. So, you know, whether it's, you know, again, there's a lot of different ways to make money. But I'm always a fan of doing what I already do great and just serving it in a different way. So for me, I want a new car. I want a new house. So I'm taking what I'm doing. I want to speak at more colleges. So the college workshops that we do, I take a percentage of those contracts, and I put that away towards a new house and a new car, right? The programming that we do in elementary schools, those pay the bills. Like, my current lifestyle is funded by the programming that we do, you know, the contracts, we're doing weekly workshops and weekly programming. But those one-off speaking engagements, I allocate a percentage of that to something that I want in the future. So that's something that we can do. And maybe you're not a speaker, that's fine. You can use artificial intelligence to help you create a plan for you know, saving more, making more money. So that it's just about utilizing what we have, but don't make it complicated. Life is complex. That doesn't mean we have to make it complicated. So just make it simple, and then grow the simple into significant.
Got you. That's good. Lawrence, tell us about your experience as a first time homeowner. I was listening to your podcast. And you were interviewing, I always get his name wrong. I think it's Tony, though it might be Toby. Tony Jones,
my guy.
Tony Jones. And I heard you, I was listening to the podcast, and you were talking about, you know, purchasing your first home, and you were watching Love It and List It, which I loved that show. You know, but, you know, just when folks look at those shows, I had a client that every house that we went into, she was going to tear down walls and she was going to do all this stuff because she got caught up in all of the HGTV and the glory that comes with all that. That looks amazing. But tell us about your experience when you bought your first home. What did you do right and what would you have changed?
I think we were patient, number one. So, again, like you, I like to be transparent. when we first got married, we weren't ready to buy our first house. So we waited a year. You know, we got our credit together. We, you know, saved up some money. Actually got a real credit card, not a store card. So, you know, we did those things, right? And again, those you know, we call it the prerequisites. Like when you're in college, you have those prerequisites. You can't take, you know, home ec 102 unless you take home ec 101. So
this is true.
We did those things. And then I think we had my wife and I, we, even though, again, we enjoyed the shows for just the glitz, the glamour, and then the, you know, perspective, we had a set of deal breakers, like where it was like, if the home doesn't have these items, we're not even going to look at it. And then we had those things where it was like, hey, if we do get these things, it's a bonus. So our first house, we had everything that was on our deal breaker list. Like, it had everything that we needed. It didn't have everything we wanted, but that was okay because we came into the house with equity as soon as we signed on the dotted line. And, you know, it literally served us. It, like, the house was everything that we needed. And it gave us that sense of ownership. And, you know, again, you look 8 years later, and it's worth, you know, we can almost sell it for, you know, 50% more.
Yeah. I always say that homeownership.
And we haven't done any renovations.
Wow. Yeah. Homeownership and purchasing a home and owning a home is probably the safest way to build generational wealth. And, you know, and to your point, you know, to be able to have something, you know, rent is expensive now. And,
absolutely,
you know, crazy, two bedroom, one bath costing you over $1,700, $1,800. That's a mortgage. And to know that, you know, when you purchase your own home, it is yours, you're building equity. And I always try to say that equity helps you in so many ways, whether it's to, you know, get a loan or send your kids to college or open up that business. Home ownership and just having your own has so many benefits to it. So I encourage, you know, the first step in home ownership is, of course, to know your numbers. I always say know your numbers, just like when you're talking about your health. You know, this is your body. This is what allows you to maneuver. It's your engine. And so to know your numbers health-wise is will allow you to fix something and, you know, to address issues as they come up. Well, the same thing is with home ownership. And if I am truly interested in buying a home is to know what does my credit look like? What am I doing as far as financing and saving to be, you know, to be able to do that. But, yeah, there's so many benefits to home ownership, especially now with everything being expensive, including rent. And, you know, to me, it's a no-brainer. But, yeah, I'm glad you had a great experience with buying your first home.
No, it was phenomenal. I mean, like, I'm glad, you know, and I grew up thinking I never was going to be a homeowner. But, obviously, I also didn't think I was going to be married with kids. So that kind of changes things. So. So
yeah,
you
always say don't ever say no. Don't ever say what you don't want, because guess what? That is exactly what is going to happen.
That is right, right. I need to start saying I don't want wealth. Maybe that'll start.
That is hilarious.
That is hilarious.
I am definitely excited. We definitely are in a great, you know, though this market has its challenges, of course, low inventory, a little higher interest rates. You know, the interest rates aren't as high as they were years ago, and folks are just used to and we're a little spoiled, or we're spoiled with that 2-3% interest, but it's still a good time to purchase. And in your case, still a good time to sell, you know, and get the money out of it and be able to reinvest it into something else. Definitely a strong real estate market, and it's safe. It's definitely a safe investment. But I am going to do a quick A quick disclaimer for the station. Thank you to eWater Radio and, of course, Blog Talk for the opportunity for Real Connected. As I said in the very beginning, G-Todd with No Limits, I appreciate the music clips. And I don't know, Lawrence, if you're musically inclined, if you got some music to share, please forward. Definitely like to hear new music. But thank you so much to eWater Radio and Blog Talk Radio for this opportunity. I'm going to do a disclaimer. When we get back, Lawrence, this show goes by really quick. But when we get back, I want you to just give us a little more information of how people can get connected to you and your organization. What does that look like, as well as your social media handle? So we will be right back.
Sounds good.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Shining on the square toes, and the fresh crease blue jeans. We're growing around here, grown around here. We're growing around here, grown around here. Keeping it grown around here, grown around here. Just growing around here, grown around here. We're growing around here, grown around here. We're growing around here, grown around here. Keeping it grown around.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWRDB.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And again, thank you to Ed for the opportunity. Hopefully our listeners, well, I'm not even going to say hopefully. I know that we've definitely have had great information. Financial literacy is definitely, in my opinion, one of the biggest I won't say the biggest, but as far as it is important not to be, as far as the home ownership process, because there's so many other things that go along with purchasing a home, but financial literacy starts from a young age and affects everything that we do. From a home ownership perspective, we talk about credit and we talk about down payment. We just talk about not only from the very beginning, but to be a homeowner, it takes money to maintain the home, your taxes, HOA fees if you have those, and again, just simply the maintenance that comes along with having a home. And so it is not only preparing for the purchase, but it is also in maintaining, so that way when those things come up, when you need something, whether it's that amazing lawnmower that you see at Lowe's and just got to have, or the dishwasher breaks down and you know that you have to replace it, it's just, again, being prepared financially so that one thing doesn't harm you for a long time. So, again, financial literacy is so important. The season that we're in now, which is my season two, we're focusing on real estate and financial literacy, and it is the road to Houston. For those that are listening, I'm super excited to be in Houston in the next couple of weeks. And so if you are in that area, please feel free to reach out and send me a message. I would definitely love to connect. As far as real estate is concerned, I, again, am with Coldwell Banker, Hyde Park. So if you are interested in purchasing or even selling, please reach out to me. My number is 513-535-0441. Or you can find me on all of the social media platforms as Latina 0441. If you're not in Ohio, please feel free to reach out. I definitely am connected and am definitely starting a network of other realtors in other states. So if you are in another state and are interested, again, in selling or buying, I can definitely connect you to the right person. So, again, thank you so much for joining. I am bringing Lawrence back on. Lawrence, if you can tell our audience again what it is that you offer, how people can get in contact with you, both with Abundance University as well as your social media and website.
All right. So as far as what we offer, we do financial literacy programming for all ages. Literally, we work with kindergartners on up. So we offer those type of programs. We also do one-on-one financial coaching where, you know, we sit down and, again, we get those financial goals kind of laid out with the plan to achieve them. And that's usually for people 18 and up. And then, again, we have the book. So if you just want to purchase a book, you can go to abundanceuniversity.net. We have the Money Seeds books for all different ages. And then as far as social media, I'm everywhere on every platform at Lawrence Kane Jr. And you can also tap into our podcast that we have called the Money Mondays podcast. It's over 100 episodes, and that's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, as well as on our website, abundanceuniversity.net.
Nice. How so I saw that when I was, of course, on your website, and I did listen to a few of your Money Mondays. Is that live, Lawrence, or should people just go to that link on your website and just listen in? And are they able to ask questions? Or?
Yeah, those are all pre-recorded, so they can you can catch up, if you will. Again, it's over 100 episodes. You know, some of them are solo episodes with me breaking down certain things. And then I have some interviews that we've done, like Eileen, you pointed out that you listened to the one with Tony Jones. So, you know, bringing in other experts in the financial space to talk about what they do and how they can help the people. So definitely take a look at it.
Absolutely. And you are also involved with, not only do you have your own workshops, but you are also involved in others here in the community, right? Can you give us maybe some of your workshops that are coming up or anything that you're currently working on that we should know of?
Sure. So one of the things that we're working on right now is cash flow, coffee and cash flow. So it's going to be a series that we do where we go into different coffee shops across greater Cincinnati and basically do workshops in the while sipping coffee. Well, I'm a tea guy, so I have tea in my cup. But but we're gonna just talk about, you know, we're gonna have different themes for the different days. So that's actually going to be in September. That's gonna start in September. So we got some time for that.
Okay.
But also there's a young lady named Karma Wilson. We're doing a financial literacy summit in August, and I'm super excited about it. That's going to be for teens. So we'll be dropping that information at the time of this, like 2 days. In 2 days, we're dropping that. So super excited about that, too.
Okay.
And she's the one putting it on. She has a company called Piggy Pocket. So she's a young lady that wants to teach her fellow, you know, classmates and just people her age financial education.
Nice.
So she wanted me to be a part of that. So I'll be speaking there.
Awesome. And I'll definitely connect with you because there's so much opportunity in the Latin community. You know, when I talk about me being first generation and not really knowing what is going on. And so we still have that same, you know, that same cycle of, you know, our parents are not from this country, and then here we are. And so to be able to tap into that demographic, I think is key when we talk about, you know, advancing our communities to a next level. So for sure. Well, thank you so much, Lawrence, again, for joining in. I appreciate your time. You know, you're doing amazing things. And so, again, congrats on all of your wins. And, you know, if there's anything that we can do here, please let us know. But thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me. You have a good day, and I'll talk to you super soon. I know it.
Absolutely. God bless.
All right.
Paying homage to the sport coach. Giving it up to the exotic watch. No need to be tucking them tailored shirts. Custom prints on our guy's socks. This one's for the button-ups. Showing love to the cufflinks. Spit shining on the square toes. And the fresh creased blue jeans. We're growing around here.
You're listening to E-Water Radio, KEWRDB.
Again, thank you all so much for joining an episode of Real Connected. Hope that you have received information that is helpful. As we had mentioned, generational wealth and being able to have equity and being able to do all of those things are such, you know, benefits. So homeownership is key, and homeownership being the easiest, well, not maybe easiest to begin the process, but it certainly is the safest and one of the, you know, safest and easiest way to start with equity and to start creating that generational wealth for yourself, for your family. And so, again, you know, my hope is that you get some information and that you picked up some gems from this conversation and that you can apply that in life. So whether you are looking to purchase a home now, contact me or contact a lender to know what your credit and what you need to do to start that process. If now is not the time, then prepare yourself, whether that's a year from now or whatever that timeline looks like for you. The idea to start preparing now is key. And so start preparing for what it is that you want. And that's with everything in life. So write down those goals and really work towards achieving them. So, again, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for choosing to listen. And please share with your friends and family. If you have any show ideas, please contact me. Have an amazing week. Thank you.